game day or any day. Your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on The Score.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care. Never come back. So let's root for the Cubbies. If they don't win, it's a shame. So it's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old game.
Well, that was a unique rendition.
You sure? The sanctity of my home.
Shout out to Pig Vomit.
Oh, yeah. Kevin, what's his last name? I forgot what his last name is. A real person that Paul Giamatti is based on in the Howard Stern movie.
Yep.
He ended up running WGN for a little while.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Almost worked for that man.
I mean, we kind of worked for our own version.
We did or we do?
We did.
Oh, we did. Let's see if I know who you're talking about. It's, hang on.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I was referencing.
There's so many options.
There are. There are.
That's the thing. Spiegel and Holmes here. That was a horrific version of the seventh inning stretch that really got me going at the end of yesterday's show. We talked about it at 45 or
it,
so.
It seems like it's bothered a lot of people. Oh. I'm less bothered by it.
Oh, God.
Because I'm thinking about the strategy of it.
Of her strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, call her daddy.
Call her daddy.
Call her daddy.
It's not about her.
It is about her.
No, it's about you. It's about
the Cubs
you being
made it about her.
Well,
sir.
Really, honey, it's not all about you.
That's it.
No, Pat Foley is correct. You are there to help the fans facilitate a moment. It is a moment for multiple tens of thousands of people that they love. And I know because I love it. My wife loves that moment.
It was a moment for her, and she took it as an opportunity, as a moment for her.
And you honestly don't think that is selfish and disrespectful?
I think that the whole reason that she got invited is because she has an audience that the Cubs were trying to tap into. And this is the price that you pay for that. Like, she didn't go to the Cubs and say, hey, can I sing the seventh inning stretch?
Do you know that for sure? Because it was part of her Chicago. Because weren't you saying, Alex, she posted a whole bunch of stuff on TikTok? Like, here are my Chicago highlights.
Yeah, I went to see if, like, maybe she commented on the performance. She did not. She was just talking about selling some merch in Chicago. Yeah, and look, they had didn't the Cubs have Theo Vaughn, another podcaster, trying to tap into his audience weeks ago? Yes. And it didn't go well.
This has become, because of what the Cubs have made this now, it's become transactional. Most of the people who do the seventh inning stretch now don't care about it.
I don't believe that is the case.
There are a lot of people
I don't
people
think most.
Who do.
I can't let you just say most and let that go. Okay, go ahead and say some. Make your point. I want you to make your point. I just don't agree with most.
I think that when you're inviting people who aren't Cubs fans and aren't baseball fans in, they don't care about the sanctity of it.
So it's your job then to tell them about the sanctity of it, or not let them do it.
Right. That's where I'm trying to get you at, is that this is a Cubs issue. That they have to figure out, does it matter or does it not matter? It matters to you.
It matters and to a lot of people.
To a degree, it matters to me.
Well, it matters to a lot of fans, and it matters very much for the experience. Fun fact, I usually FaceTime my wife if she's not there during the seventh inning stretch because she loves it so much. Even when I'm upstairs doing pre and post.
I get it.
It's a thing. It's a moment for tons of people.
I get it. But the thing is that the Cubs have kind of told you they don't really care about it anymore. If they cared about it, we know what the right thing to do is. The right thing to do is that you have a bunch of great recordings of people who actually do care about it and took it seriously, along with a plethora of Harry Carey recordings that you could, which is why most people our age even care about this, is because he made it a thing.
Okay, well, maybe this will be the moment that pivots the Cubs towards that. So it's I don't think we're fighting about it as much as I'm saying this probably ought to be the moment where it gets rejiggered. And you're saying the Cubs asked for this to happen. Yes. With the way that they have done it.
Yes, their approach to this.
I'm wanting to hold her a little more personally accountable.
I don't think that you can. I think that she did exactly what she's doing and what's made her successful. And the Cubs knew this. And they either endorsed it or they ignored it. And so to me, what, like, for example, like when I was driving, because I don't really know her backstory at all. And hearing Zach say, oh, well, I've got to move out of the way. And I'm like, that's weird. Like, why is Zach moving out of the broadcast booth or his spot in the broadcast booth for the seventh inning stretch? They had to credential everyone that was with her. You don't just get into the booth. You don't get to. Our guy Keith doesn't just let anyone up to the broadcast level.
No, he doesn't.
What did they think was going to happen?
So the two backup dancers that were with her, but they often let a few people when the DePaul basketball team is there.
I'm not a fan of that either.
When there's three members of the Chicago Fire that are there, or what have you, or the cast of something that is there.
Either it's serious or it's not. And the Cubs have told you that it's not serious. That's where I'm at on this. You can be mad at her because she doesn't kind of subscribe to the same sanctity that we have for the ballpark or the traditions of the ballpark, but that's not how she built her brand.
Okay, well, hold on.
She built her brand doing her.
I think we're actually both right here, which is great because this is the show for Mr. and Mr. Validation to hang out and come storming through. Because, well, I mean, you seem to be blaming her less for her style. I'm not a fan of someone who doesn't even care about, like, rituals of a thing and the rituals of a place and the tradition of a place and the people themselves. I found her attitude and perspective loathsome to do it. And I'm allowed to be upset about that. I feel like you're trying to talk me out of being upset about that.
I'm not trying. I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Because I thought it was gross.
I truly do. But what I'm saying is that you've got your ire pointed in the wrong direction. That all you need to know is that this is what she did, and the Cubs needed to. This is a vetting issue. This is a vetting issue, and on this, and maybe they think it was successful because it does give more social credibility to them in a place where we're all trying to figure out, well, where is it that we're going to be able to grow things, and the fact that we're talking about it, and the fact that she might talk about it on her podcast. Maybe they value that more.
I'm not responding well to having my ire directed. I think my ire is I'm okay with pointing my ire towards her.
Okay, and I think you should also point it at the Cubs.
Well, I'll see how much ire I've got. I'll see. I'm going to take an ire count. Hold on.
All I know here's
is that the amulet that Layla wanted to make, the ire of Spiegel? Is that what it was the other day? I think it was. So
sounds like a great segment idea.
Let me give you an example.
I'll do it on the midday show.
Last month, when you told us that you had to to go do a sound check and that you had to offer an audition to do the national anthem,
I did,
right?
I had to submit a demo to do the national anthem.
Guess what? The Cubs take that seriously. They took it seriously in regards to you, an actual professional singer with a resume and videos and all sorts of audio to prove that you can sing.
They
you
wanted still, to make sure that correct. I wouldn't crap the bed and besmirch the sanctity of their home.
They took that seriously.
Okay.
They didn't take this seriously. and
this is what they get.
This is what you get.
I get it.
And I'm not going to be mad at her because this is part of her business plan.
Why do you hate the Cubs? I think that's the question.
Why? Well, one.
<No. laughs> Come back. Show me where the Cubs hurt you.
The Cubs.
Show me on the doll.
The Cubs have not hurt me.
I know, I'm just kidding.
The Cubs have been great to me.
Yeah, I know that.
And this is, I think that the solution to the issue is very simple.
Okay, before we get to the solution, let me say that you are right. That something like this has been a long time coming with the looseness of it. I think you are right because there have been a lot of people who you don't know. Do they care about it and why are they doing it? And it is something that matters. So I don't know what the vetting process is.
But see,
I don't know what it is.
The other part of it speaks, and this is where I think I lose you, is that no matter what they thought the seventh inning stretch was going to be when they had Alex come and do it, it wasn't for us. It wasn't for two guys in their 50s. That's not who they were trying to reach out to. So, of course, anyone that's a Gen Xer that grew up being a Cubs fan and like the seventh inning stretch, like being a thing, you're going to see that and be like, oh, my God, that was gross. Like, that is not what that tradition is all about. But again, this is why I say your ire should be pointed at the Cubs. In that moment,
I asked you not to direct my ire.
In that moment,
oh, we got to fight.
In that moment, when they had a choice, their choice was they didn't give a bleep about you or your traditions or you being someone that loves that thing.
What they
were going for, they were going for a crowd pop. They were going for going viral. And now they've gone viral.
What they thought was that they could have both. That's what they thought.
Maybe.
Oh, I think without a doubt that has been the calculus, that the specialness of the place, the tradition, the bonding of everybody, the uniqueness of the moment, draping yourself in the romance of baseball would survive even randoms. They clearly think it would survive, you know, people who you've never heard of, and they think it would survive social media sensations who have their own vested interest. They leaned too hard towards trust. I agree with you that they leaned way too hard towards trusting random social media people to treat it with the respect it deserves. If you're going to do that, my wife wants to be the screener. She wants the job as the screener.
I would trust her to be the screener on this.
Because she completely agrees with you. I was texting her yesterday as she was listening to our segment, Lawrence, and she was like, she was saying that it's on the Cubs. My meatball Cub fan wife believes it is on the Cubs, and it believes they should have strict guidelines on how they want you to do it, and they should have only Cub fans do it, not just celebrities. They should have to be Cub fans, and I should be the screener, she texted. They'd pay me a lot of money to do it. They honestly should also let fans do it once in a while. Your thoughts on that?
I love the concept of having some vetted fans come and do it. Like, I think that would be kind of cool.
Right, because you'd have vetted fans who had to, like, you gave them the one-sheeter, and they had to go through your vetting
process.
And there's
that one moment in life that they've probably been waiting for their whole life as a Cubs fan. I think there is something beautiful about that. Two things, though. One, when it comes to it should be a Cubs fan, I mostly agree with that. I do think, though, like, let's say Brad Pitt wanted to promote F1. Brad Pitt's probably a Cardinal fan, right? Growing up in Missouri?
I think so. He was just on with the Kelce brothers talking about how much he loves the Chiefs. So yeah, if Brad Pitt was in town and wanted to do that, they would let Brad Pitt do that.
That would make sense to do.
But Brad Pitt is...
Wow, move over Eric Stone Street. And Paul Rudd staking your claim to the Chiefs. Look out, guys.
How about it? Not the Rams. But he might actually be from the middle of Missouri, not close to St. Louis. But everyone around there is usually a Cardinals fan,
grew up on KMOS,
or a Braves fan, you know, like, well, usually one of those two.
Don't you think, Lawrence, it's an issue? And maybe it is. It is not purely generational. It is not purely Gen X versus millennials or however you want to frame it. I don't think it's purely that. It's also, it's a level of respect for other institutions versus get your clicks at whatever cost it takes.
Yes.
Come on. And that's the part that bothers me.
Yes, but
because there's Gen Xers who do that.
That's the view that we have from this perspective. Like what she's looking at, I'm asking you to speak for her because I don't really know.
I'm asking you to zoom out at like social media presences for people in their 40s, 50s, 30s, or whatever. Some people care about, you know, being respectful, and some people absolutely don't.
And your job, if you're the Cubs, is to find the people that do. And in this case, they didn't. They didn't do a good enough job of vetting it. And so while you're blaming her for being her. And I don't think that that's fair. I also don't think that we should just be referring to people as like random people on the internet. This is now a thing. Like this is where a lot of people are growing brand, they're growing audience share. And I think it's easy for us to dismiss creators who are online because we're not doing it in the same way.
I don't mean to do that. I have a lot of respect for people who have built stuff in different ways, including in baseball. The guys over at Just Baseball, my nephew and others, have built a thing that has no home except their own, and they did it on TikTok with more than 1 million followers. Mad respect.
And look, our bosses are doing this too.
Everyone is trying
to chase this because you're going, how does our medium survive?
Let me ask you a question though. Do you need to defend her motives in order to point the finger at the Cubs? Because I think I'm giving you that a lot of the fingers should be pointed at the Cubs. I don't know that we need to defend her motives.
I think that her motives are.
I think her motives are kind of gross.
I think that her motives are
disrespectful.
I think that you're putting too much on the concept of the disrespect. I think that her brand is her motivation is I'm growing my brand.
Right, but I'm saying you're invited into a place. Do you respect the place that you're invited into as you grow your brand?
I don't know.
Because I lose respect for you when you don't.
I don't know if she necessarily needs to, especially when it's probably the Cubs reaching out to her and her not reaching out to the Cubs.
Well, we don't know, but either way, honestly, though, either way, if you are invited someplace and you're like, oh, my God, I'd like to be a part of this, and maybe I'd like to even be invited back.
You know the answer from how I live.
I do.
Like
I
you,
do.
You know how I would personally take this.
I do. So I don't know why it's okay for her not to.
Because it's different. Like what she cares about is different. What in some cases, I don't want a broad brush either, but in some cases when we are talking about the creator class, like what they care about is different.
Yeah, because it's much more comfortably selfish. Yeah, right?
But
comfortably brand building and selfish.
This is where we all are to a certain extent.
To an extent, but I agree. But you and I both make those choices all the time. How selfish are we going to be? How much are we going to respect the medium where we happen to be?
But we're in a different space because of, one, how the gates were when we came up, the different things that we had to do, and the fact that we haven't lived our lives online.
For sure. She has built her own thing. I do have I definitely have respect for what she has built and everything that she has done. I do think it's still possible to have a sense of respect and decency when you're invited in someplace.
I agree with you on that, Spiegs. And I think that there are probably people that would relish the opportunity to do that. I also think that there needs to be a blending. My guy Ben Bradley, like he did something really cool, and I'm sorry that I'm forgetting the creator that he worked with, but he was out covering the Tiffany Hainyard thing out in Dalton, right? And there was this guy that was coming at big box media, like, oh, you guys are not doing a great job of telling this story. And this guy has a YouTube page that has hundreds of thousands of followers, and he was following the trial too. So Ben went and talked to him, and then they ended up doing a class together at Northwestern. And Ben learned from him. He learned from Ben. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some value in that. I just think that the simple way to safeguard something that the Cubs should hold sacred. See, I'm mad at them.
I get it.
Because they didn't. And so they don't, I don't want to hear about how sacred it is because you didn't think it was sacred enough to get an audition.
Well, we and I and those of us who are offended by it are not the ones who've been in charge of the vetting. So what we are in is a moment of both.
Yeah.
Of having a reaction to this, which is felt deeply by a lot of people, and then pointing where we ought to point. So I think we're doing a good job setting it both up. Let's take some phone calls on it at 312-644-6767. And we can take a break and do it or however we want to do it. Yeah,
312-644-6767. We can take your phone calls on whether or not how you feel about all of it.
Yeah.
And my feeling, just so that we're clear, my feeling is it should be people that you know that want to be there. They don't necessarily have to be Cubs fans, but they should want to be there because there are plenty of baseball fans who are Wrigley fans. And maybe they're not Cubs fans, but they would understand it and treat it the way that you want to treat
they're
it.
They're baseball fans.
Or there's plenty of recordings. Run them.
No, yeah, there's a way to do this. And it actually reminds me of something we did in Tributosaurus, which I think will connect. There's a one-sheeter. We need to help them draft that.
Yeah, I like that idea. 312-644-6767. Back after this on The Score.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on The Score.
Not the seventh inning stretch tonight. Will be conducted from our booth by Alex Cooper, the creator of Call Her Daddy and CEO of Unwell. Very popular on the podcast circuit.
Are you a podcaster yourself, Zach?
Not a podcaster, but I listen to a lot of pods. So I'm going to step aside so they can come in here and get set to conduct the stretch.
Don't forget your smart speakers.
It's never dull at Wrigley Field, Pat. Never dull.
That picture the Tribune had of poor Pat acting as if the dancers might fall on him, I felt really bad. That's our guy.
He seemed terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sully wrote a great piece about it in Tribune. Jeff Agress wrote about it in the Sun-Times. I love what Sully said. Like, they're... Like, to further the point of the Cubs wanting their cake and wanting to have their cake and eating it too, there are plenty of people that they should consider inviting that they haven't. Steve Stone should do the seventh inning stretch. He's never had a chance. And Sully wrote about that. He should have a chance to do the seventh inning stretch. He means as much to Cubs fans and was sitting in the booth with Harry while Harry was doing this for a long damn time, and he's never been asked to do the stretch.
I agree with that. Jeff Agress wrote specifically about Stoney a couple weeks ago about how the Cubs could honor him now that they've honored Sammy. I think that makes all the sense 100%. In the world.
100%. You could find a day that Stoney's not going to travel with the White Sox and the Cubs are in town and have him come over there.
So when we invite people to sit in with Tributosaurus, people don't kind of, they used to not know what it is. Is it a cover band? Are you just play it however you want?
That's why you always say we're not dressed up in costumes.
Right. We call ourselves the Chicago Symphony Orchestra of Rock and Roll because it's a legit gig. You're trying to actually play the song like it is on the recording. But when it's time to solo, go ahead and be you, unless there is a space in the solo that you think a specific lick needs to be properly done so people's ears can have it. What I'm saying is that's a difficult thing to communicate to people when you're asking them to come to your house as artists. And we used to joke about coming up with a one-sheeter. Let's draw up a one-sheeter.
So you have one?
We don't, but we have the conversation with everybody if we need to. We make sure, as we hire people, hey, by the way, this is what we're doing.
This is what we expect. And, this is how we do
and
it.
And we know it might
this
not be...
This is how we
right.
do
this
it.
This might not be exactly how you would do it in this song that you've
this
played your whole life.
This is how we do
but
it.
But this is how we do it. So I give you another one. Yeah, but so come and come to our house and let's do it this way together. Are you cool? And if they say no, then you're like, all right, thanks so much. We'll do something else some other time.
Let me ask you a philosophical question,
please.
And I am not putting Alex on this level, but I just want to ask the question.
Okay,
what if Andy Kaufman had done that?
If Andy Kaufman had done what Alex Cooper did,
mm-hmm. it would be celebrated. What if Baron Sacha Baron Cohen would have done that? Now we're talking about genius, right?
No.
Like now we're like, oh, look, well, that's so awesome what he did.
If
like
Sasha
his
did, well, hold
remix
on.
Of it.
You know this though. If Sacha Baron Cohen did, that's Borat. If he did it, he'd be clearly laughing at and making a mockery of the kind of people that would do that, and he'd be going after the Cubs, saying, you shouldn't let me into this space, and this is what you get. Because that's how his comedy works.
That's kind of how I see what Alex did.
But you know that was... She wasn't thinking about it on that level. No way.
I don't know that.
She's just out there getting hers.
I don't know that. Which one should we go to first? Jamie? All right, Jamie. Welcome to the Spiegel and Holmes Show. What's on your mind?
I was at the game the other night, and I have a 20-year-old daughter, and I told her Alex Cooper's doing the 7th inning stretch, and she listened to it. And I want to let you know, if the Cubs are looking for a certain audience, they totally hit it on the mark, because she loves her, and she thought she was great. And when she heard them booing, she's like, they need to get over it, because, like you said, this is Alex's brand, and her audience loved it. And she also commented that, you know, like you just said a bit about Andy Kaufman getting a pass and whatnot, if they had done this, there have been plenty of people who have been, Chicago people have gone up there incredibly intoxicated, and they still let them have the mic and do it, and they got a pass, and yet Cooper didn't.
I think that's a fair point, Jamie.
I don't, because, again, it's about the intent and the willingness to make a mockery. But I understand about the drunken thing. I'll say this. If the Cubs hear that kind of thing and take the idea, well, we reached some 20-year-olds and still think it was worth it, that'll be a very interesting response.
To me,
I feel like, Lawrence, this should be the tipping point where the one-sheeter, or at least the conversation of this is the way we do it here, needs to be had with everybody, just like the anthem, as you brought up, that the way they do it now. I feel like this better be the tipping point.
I did find myself, like, after going back and watching it, I found myself going, because Tom usually is there every night. I was curious, like, how Tom felt about that. And I wonder if on Monday morning, there were a lot of phone calls and text messages and emails to be like, I need someone to explain to me what happened and why. Like, I found myself like, if I were Tom, knowing how Tom has felt about the Wrigley experience, the Cubs overall, as a fan, not even as an owner, I do wonder if he was like, if he like got on his phone and was like, what the was that? And I'm going to need a good explanation for why something like that should happen again.
And if that call gets made, then there probably has been lots of conversation about how are we doing this? What are our standards? And maybe my wife will get that call to be the screener, since that's what she's dying to do.
Are we, Taney, just doing a backwards segment so that we can get Steen this job? Is that what's happening right now?
I don't believe that's the
case. Yeah, it feels like that's where we're trending.
Hey, you know? Taney,
I got to be honest with you.
Taking Lawrence's side. It happened that fast. Really?
That
fast.
Wait, 9 months? How long have we been together?
And plus, you guys go way back. Yeah. You used to work together.
You used to produce my show.
Oh, yeah.
The solo one.
Yeah, there's that.
It's pretty
good. By the way, fans doing it?
Oh, Lawrence is missing the solo show.
Fans doing the stretch? No, thanks.
No?
No.
Some specially vetted fans?
Yeah.
I think that'd be a lovely moment, possibly.
It would never stop. It would be, here's a season ticket holder for 20 years. Oh, we found one for 30 years. And it would just never end.
I get you on that. You're right about that. That there would be all sorts of things. People would run sob stories at the Cubs. So there is a danger in it. But let's hear from Louie in Rockford. Hey, Louie, you're on the score.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Louie.
Let me tell you this. The way I would start it out is, how cool is this? And then I would say, let me hear you. And I'll finish it with, let's get some runs. I've been watching the Cubs since I was 5 years old in 1966. And to me, from Jack Brickhouse to Harry Carey to Pat Hughes and the fans in that park, it's a great place to be. I raised my kids Cubs fans, and that's it, you know.
Thank you, Louie.
And I'm proud to be an American. Hey,
listen, who wouldn't want that 81 times a year?
I feel,
fans every day.
I feel Louie's passion, though. Like,
of course.
He's saying, man, I could have done that
I
for
know,
you.
But look, and here's the thing. Baseball is for everybody, Louie. There's a texter that says, Speaks, calm down on this. Baseball wants a new audience.
Yeah.
You're treating it like blasphemy. It's only baseball. See, it's not only baseball. That's the whole thing.
It's still real to me, damn it.
It is, because that's part of the selling point of places like Wrigley and Fenway and Yankee, and the sport itself is like the decades of tradition and romance and emotion that get put in there. So it's them trying to have the cake and eat it as well. That's what it is. And the cake just struck back. And so do you just let more cake in? For the rest of
the I've kind of lost the metaphor now.
Are we letting a cake do the stretch now? What's happening?
Oh, we should let the Pop-Tart do that.
Do you use a fork to eat the cake from now on? Or do you go with the spoon, Danny? This is what I'm saying.
It's Louie!
It's one of those trick questions. You're not going to trap me, Speaks.
Who's got something for me to dip? Here's some Baba Ghanoush.
I want to dip my...
All right, let's go on out to Jim, who's in Rogers Park. Hey, Jim, you're on the score.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hey, Matt, you and I worked together about 25 years ago with your friend Lenny Pincus.
Oh, okay.
On where the action is. I'll just leave it at that.
Got you.
Do you remember?
I do. Yes. Yeah.
Where was the action?
It was jingle singing. So there's a possible Feldco connection here with Jim.
Oh, okay.
As well, but it's the same realm. But yeah, go ahead, Jim. What do you think about all this?
Yeah. So here's the deal. You go to Wrigley. It's a community, right? I mean, there's 36,000, 38,000 people there, and you are a community, and your focus is on what's going on the field. And when people get up there and do the seventh inning stretch and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, most of the time they're kind of, you know, increasing the community-ness of the whole thing, right? Everyone's singing together. Everyone's part of it. This is a very look-at-me moment by a look-at-me person. And I think that's where the train left the tracks for her.
Jim,
I
agree wholeheartedly, and I know that it can get sanctimonious and overly emotional and all that, but the thing is, it is a successful thing because it serves the fans. And in that way, it's the same as a musical endeavor or other artistic endeavors. Certainly the one I was talking about with our thing and the one-sheeter. Serving the fans. And that moment is supposed to serve the fans. And Lawrence, I think you actually agree with that.
I agree with you 100%, which is why I think that you should simplify it and actually serve them.
Yeah, and this is a time where they tried to serve other masters and thought they could get away with serving other masters like growth and brand and still serve the fans, and it blew up in their face.
The other thing is, and I just want to speak to this because I'm trying to be aware of my own surroundings as I get older inside of this medium. There's stuff that's just not for us. There just is. And I've accepted that over like the last decade or so in our industry. Like, there's stuff that's not for me. And that's okay. Like, it's okay for me to seek out the stuff that is for me. Or if someone's like, Lawrence, you should check this out, because even though it's not maybe on your radar, you might like this. And then maybe there are pieces of some of that stuff that is for
sure,
me.
For sure.
But I do think that as we get older, we have to be honest in the fact that in the media landscape that we're in, whether it's the two of us or the quintessential like score listener inside of our demo, there's just stuff that's not for us. And a lot of teams are going to try and squeeze to be cynical about it, every dollar
for sure
out of those things that aren't necessarily for us.
I agree. And this is a moment of that, and you see it all over the place. The fact that the social media presence and skill set of people on your organizational staff to take advantage of this kind of thing has slowly built over the last decade, where now it's a necessity. It's a full-on necessity that you live in that space. And so they're trying to get all sorts of people and thread the needle, and this was a failed needle thread.
We talked about it yesterday. Like, the, we did the hypothetical of if this show was asked to do it, how I would feel uncomfortable doing it because of my Sox fandom. Like, that would feel duplicitous to me.
Ah, really? But you love baseball and you love Wrigley.
I do. I don't see.
But I think you just said it yourself last segment that if you love baseball and love the place, it's fine.
I think Vin Scully's approach to this is the right one. He said that when he did the stretch, he did it for Harry, and if he did it again, he'd be doing it for himself. And to me, like, if I were to do it, I'd be doing it for me. And that's not right.
That's very well said, Lawrence. But just to put a bow on this thing, this was not even the most offensive thing to happen at Wrigley this weekend. Did you guys see the other thing?
Was Flo Rida there too?
No. Alvin Kamara,
oh,
throughout the first pitch.
He really did.
Didn't go over well. He got a second one. He got a do-over on first pitch.
Who gets that? Who gets a second pitch?
Carl Lewis.
Second pitch is not a thing.
No, Carl Lewis got a second pitch.
It's not a thing.
What about the sanctity of the first pitch?
Exactly. Alex.
Your ire is misdirected, both of you.
I don't like when my ire is directed.
Fair enough. Fair enough. We need to take a break. When we come back, a teammate of Bobby Jenks spoke eloquently about Bobby Jenks. We'll share next on the
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Known for his lightning-quick fastball and fearless approach on the mound, he quickly became a fan favorite and one of the most dominant relievers in baseball. Bobby Jenks passed away on July 4th at the age of 44, following a valiant fight against cancer. Please join us in a moment of silence as we remember a teammate, father, husband, friend, and forever a champion forged in White Sox history, Bobby Jenks.
Man, the White Sox got it all right last night, honoring Bobby Jenks. It was great. They played Here Come the Boom. It was really well done by the White Sox last night. And before the game, you're listening to the Spiegel and Holmes show, by the way. Thank you. We appreciate your support. Before the game, White Sox general manager Chris Getz talked about Bobby Jenks. Those two guys were teammates for a couple of years. So here's what he had to say about big, bad Bobby Jenks.
You know, I think you can pick up the theme when everyone talks about Bobby and what a great teammate he was. Just a big heart. He was just this, you know, most fun-loving kid, and obviously a tremendous competitor, you know, on the mound. You know, he didn't have an easy life. He didn't, you know, and I know that his family's got to be really going through it right now. It's obviously really sad, and, you know, we've got the reunion coming up here shortly, and it'll be nice to have, you know, a lot of those guys around and you know, tell stories about Bobby Jenks and the impact that he made on this organization, but you know, more importantly on them. So he'll be, you know, dearly missed. you know, I'm just happy that I was able to play with him, because he really was a special person. You know, it was one of those when he would run in from the bullpen and getting on the mound, you know, and you knew you were in a good position to win the game. And you look at the size and the power in which he pitched, you know, and he pitched with such passion as well. And I know the White Sox fans loved him, and for good reason. So, you know, it was a sad day, you know, when he passed. But I look forward to in the coming days just to tell more stories about Bobby.
It was an anomaly for him to be throwing 100 miles an hour. Now it's normal.
No, I saw that, you know, a stat. It might have been yesterday of, you know, how many pitches over 100 miles an hour. You know, they had the top five in you know, in the league, and guys, there were hundreds of them by each player, let alone back when Bobby was throwing. He really was a unicorn of such. And but it was beyond the fastball, you know, that slider, hard curveball. You know, I remember a game in which I think it was against the Yankees. He came in and you know, he had somewhat two strikes on the hitter, and you know, he threw that breaking ball. And it pretty much touched the dirt. The glove was down there, but it broke so late. You know, the umpire called it a strike, and everyone just kind of, you know, looked at each other. Not because it was a bad call, because you didn't see that so often. So, yeah, special pitcher and a special person.
John Garland said he had a knuckle or two, but did you ever see that in action? Or he said he was afraid to kind of break that out, but he said it was a pretty good one.
Yeah, I mean, he was super talented. Could do a lot of different things on the mound. But, yeah, I mean, it's it's tough to think about, you know, when you lose Dotel, you know, earlier in the year, and then, you know, Bobby Jenks, you know, shortly after. You know, you just got to be grateful every day. And, you know, I tell players all the time, you know, you're going to look back at your careers and, you know, it's not going to be, well, I played with this all-star and this guy accomplished this. It's the relationships that you have with your teammates. It's the most important thing, you know, and you're going to have the fondest memories. And you know, and I look back, and although both those pitchers but Bobby, you know, yeah, obviously very, very talented and accomplished a lot. It was more the personality that we're going to be missing the most.
I thought that was very thoughtful stuff. I really appreciate him adding Octavio Dotel to the conversation, too.
Me, too. But there was a lot of layers there. You got to hear Chris Getz, the person, the former teammate, as well as the pitching evaluator. And also just, you know,
the current baseball guy, right? Like talking about the difference between when he played versus now him being a GM.
And also the grown-ass man with kids who has seen some stuff and lost people that he loves and can talk about Bobby's life. And that's where I keep coming back to it. Every time I really think about it and sit in it, it makes me sad because the man had demons. And
he worked through them.
He worked through them and like was set up to like have a really enjoyable second half of his life and was caring about managing and like trying to live clean and all of that. And
I'm glad that he got to that place.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't get to complete the journey.
Yeah.
Like being able to recognize in yourself, like, here are some failings. And here's where I can get better. And guess what? I'm going to try to do that now.
Yeah.
At least getting there to me.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, we talked about it a little yesterday. I think there was definitely some growth for that man. And that's what we all want, you know? I still want some growth, you know?
Yes.
Working on it.
As we should.
Yeah.
Like we should all continue to try and grow as much as we can.
Did you ever hear the idea? I thought I should be the spokesperson for Casual Male. Big and tall stores back in the day, or like Destination XL. And my tagline was going to be this: Destination XL, because you're working on it. Right?
It's pretty good.
It's pretty good, right?
I like that.
It implies that we're all working on it.
A work in progress.
We're all works in progress out here.
As we all are.
And while you are, you can find clothes that fit you. Good night, everybody.
Which is important.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk to another work in progress, Jason Leisure.
Oh, no, he's done. He's all good.
I don't think so. After what I heard this weekend, he is clearly not done.
Alrighty then.
We'll explain next here on The Score.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.